If it's 20 more, I don't know if I'll be here, but we'll see.
Might be in heaven.
Amen. We went to a funeral a couple months ago. A pastor friend, a church I helped started, he died. And so I saw some of the older folks there that were in that church when we started it. And one woman, sweet sister, said, "Brother Paul, you're always so serious, you know, when you preach." And, well, the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, right? I'm not here to speak my words, but his words. And it says in the Bible that King Saul, when he prophesied, he became another man. So sometimes, you know, you look at the preachers and you kind of think that they are perfect, or they the Word of God is everything that they spoke or created, but we're not. We're here to share with the body something that will, as Dave said, edify, instruct us, that we can grow and that we can be effective in God's work.
Amen.
So today we're going to talk about God's warriors. And there's a battle that we are engaged in almost every day. But, you know, if I'm going to fight, I'm going to fight to win. And there's all kinds of battles. There's physical battles that people engage in. There are armies that fight each other. And then there are spiritual battles that the church and people go through. It seems you get two people, two groups with different desires, and it's a clash of wills. They want this, and the other one wants that. And then they decide they're going to fight about it to get what they want. And we see that in the world today with some of these wars and skirmishes and different things. But we want God to lead us in battle, and we want His will to be done. The scripture says the battle is the Lord's.
Yep.
We don't want to get engaged in all kinds of other activities and intrude into people's lives. You know, they asked Jesus to settle a money dispute that this guy had. Tell my friend to pay me what he owes me, whatever it was. And Jesus said, that's not why I came. I didn't come here to get involved in all those details. You handle that. I've come to preach the Word of God and minister by the Spirit of God. So we don't want to get entangled in all these other things. About 6 years ago, 25?
Yeah.
So this was probably about 4 years ago. He called me up, a good brother, and he was upset about that 2020 election? 2016 election, when there was a big dispute, and he went on to say how he was going to march and he was going to do that and say this. And, you know, I don't like to mention names and things, but we know who we're talking about. And the Lord just kind of gave me a word, and I said, brother, that's not our battle. That's not our fight. You know, why get caught up in all these worldly things that people talk about? We have enough to do to be engaged in God's battle. In God's fight. And when we are in God's fight and we're submitted to Him, we will win. And, you know, Jesus prevailed, we will prevail. And but there's a battle. Now, in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 8, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. There's a time for war, and there's a time we have to fight. And 1 Corinthians 10:6, it says, now these things, Old Testament accounts, were our examples that we would learn, we would grow. I think the church, you know, Pastor talked about it last week, it gets kind of comfortable. You know, it's not all picnics and balloons and dinners on the ground, all of which are nice things. But if that's all we do, you know, we tend to miss some of the dangers that the enemy has planned or others have planned to come against us. So we need to be sober, vigilant, alert. The Lord began to give me this message about 2-3 months ago. And what I'll do, when I wait on the Lord, usually in the evening, he'll start giving me, bringing scriptures to memory or speak to me about something. And it's so exciting to hear him, you know, open the scriptures unto me, you know, like those on the road to Emmaus. They said their hearts burned when Jesus himself opened, revealed, taught the scriptures unto them, what those scriptures meant about the Messiah. It is so exciting. And not a mind telling you that a lot of other things kind of get really boring, you know. And people I've worked with before I semi-retired, they talk about this, they talk about that, and I'm kind of like, that's so boring, you know. But you have something exciting, you have something from the Lord, you have some revelation, some understanding, because I find unregenerate man, those that are not born again, they really don't have a whole lot to say. And I don't have a whole lot to say. Somebody asked me one time if I would give the announcements. It's like, no, I'm not very good at that. I don't do that very well. Okay, you know, I can talk about architecture, but and a couple other things, but the Word of God is what I want. Another man said a while back, Paul, you have this unusual perspective on life and things. Well, years ago, I said, Lord, let me see things like you see them, because I'm not that interested in what man has to say unless it's what God has told him. And I find it, like I said, very boring, you know, in a way. But show me things as you see them. So, and I'll often kid a little bit. Some people think I'm always serious. No, I have a sense of humor. But I ask Marianne. I think it's kind of tough for her to be married to me because, well, I'm saying because I don't like all of these other things, you know, go on the beach or do that. I like that when the kids were young, but I just get bored with all that stuff. But give me his words. Give me what he said. And that's what thrills my heart, and I'm sure yours as well. So anyhow, I've started putting this together, and then when I went to bed a few weeks later, the Lord would give me something else. I get out to bed and I write the notes, what he said. I must have had 30 little notes of scriptures and revelation pertaining to those scriptures that the Lord gave me. So Friday, Rusty asked me to share. I said, I'll be ready. But I had all of these little notes and from the Lord and scripture references. But the Lord helped me, and that's so exciting to sit at his feet and hear him teach and share. And so the things of earth are growing strangely dim, right? I think many of us that have walked with the Lord for a while, you kind of feel like you're being removed. You know what I'm talking about? You kind of like, yeah, I'm here, you know, I'm here, but I'm not here. I'm kind of being drawn away more and more. And but that's how I approach it when I have an opportunity to share. I ask the Lord to give me a message. So let's go to 1 Samuel 21, 15 to 22. Now we know in 1 Samuel 17, 36, David fought and defeated Goliath. Now he did it by faith in, you know, by faith in God, and it was a situation where Israel, God's people, were being threatened by the Philistines. They wanted to wipe out Israel, God's people, God's chosen people, the people that God had given the land to them. And it seems like the Philistines, or kind of like a devil character, I'm sure filled with devils, were opposing that, fighting them. So David went to war, defeated the giant, but he was declaring, who is this that defies the armies of the living God? Goliath and the Philistines were coming against God. Now, you don't want to fight with God, you know. You could fight with me and you might win, you know. You can fight with others, you might lose, whatever. But you do not fight with God, because he will win. Amen. And some of the some of us that have been stubborn, you know, you're not going to win. No. You might as well submit. And when you do, you find, well, what was I fighting about? What was all that about? So this is the this is another battle with some giants, the sons of Anak, I think, the Anakim, right? They had more giants than Goliath. Somebody said he had five brothers. We're going to read about four brothers that Israel had to deal with. 1 Samuel 21:15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war against with Israel. They're fighting Israel again. And David went down, and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David grew faint. Now here's the giant killer who wiped out Goliath when he was a young boy. Well, now he's facing Philistines, and we'll see a giant. And David got tired. And David, you know, well, what happened to David? Because it wasn't David that killed Goliath. It was, he did it with God's power, and God made it happen. So we don't want to think man is some great thing, or man can do this and do that. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But yet, there's thousands of ministries and people going around doing their thing, thinking they're doing God's will, and maybe they are, probably not. But because if you're trying to do it in your strength, you can't do anything effective in the kingdom of God. You know, you can get members, but do you get converts? You know, you can shout and holler and jump and all this stuff, but is it the Holy Spirit or is it your flesh? Okay, so we want to know that the battle is the Lord's, and we're going to walk with him and fight when he says to fight. Like I said, there are different types of battles. So in verse 16, and Ish ben Nob, which was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels, I think that's about 9 pounds, of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. They had a lot of giants, you know, and these guys were 9 to 15 feet, I'm told. And I heard one account where they found the skeletons of a huge creature somewhere in northern part of the United States. Don't know if that's true, but the giants were real, and you had to deal with them. Okay, they had no guns. They had swords and spears and knives and things like that. So David grew faint fighting against the Philistines, and this giant comes around and he girded a new sword, thought to have slain David. He thought he had David. He thought, David's dead, you know, he killed my brother, I'm going to get him. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him, succored means help, helped him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear that to David, you should not go more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai, the Hushathite, slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. You got another giant that they're having the fight, as well as the Philistines, that armies of the Philistines. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elanan, the son of Jerarijim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. So there's another giant there. The staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. I guess a weaver's beam is 6, 8, 10 feet long. I don't know. And there was yet another battle in Gath, where there was a man of great stature and had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes. He probably played the piano pretty well, don't you think? Okay. So 4 and 20 number, fingers and toes, and he also was born to the giant. And when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. So David's brother got into the battle with the giant. These 4 were born of the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. But when David had said, when he was fighting the first giant I mentioned, he grew weary, he waxed faint, and then he needed help that came to help him slay the giant. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and smote the Philistine and killed him. So even though you may have had victorious battles by yourself and the Lord has enabled you to do well and win, we need him. You know, we're not capable on our own, and sometimes people that have done well and successful, you need help. Amen. And so you get prayer of agreement, you get intercessory prayer, and you know, others pray for you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And God is, you know, God's not about promoting us. He's about us walking with him, trusting in him for every need. And the battles will come, and some of them are very threatening, and we've got to be able to deal with them. Sometimes private things on your own, sometimes big things that need the prayer of many people. I remember, what was the last hurricane? Ida?
Yeah.
Well, Ida, I was watching, and it didn't look too threatening, but then it kind of started moving away from Baton Rouge, the projection, and coming toward New Orleans. So I was led to pray, wage spiritual warfare, battle in the spirit, take authority over it, command it to move away from us.
Amen.
And I know plenty other people were praying, because many of us were affected or potentially in the path of this destructive, I think, demon-controlled storm. So as we prayed and prayed, remember that thing was headed, and then it kind of took a northern turn. And although we got some wind and whatnot, some minor damage, it didn't hit us full impact. Now, after Katrina, I mentioned Katrina. I was praying on the Saturday before Katrina, and I saw in a vision a fist strike two times. And I'd never left for a storm, and this time the Lord said, go. So all seven of us got in the car, and we headed north. And we know what happened there. So sometimes the Lord's instruction will be move away from that, or go over here, or do this or that. Then there was another storm, and I don't remember the name, but it was coming toward us. It was maybe somewhere projected to hit around Grand Isle. And I have a neutral ground right near my house. We live in Lakeview, right off West End Boulevard. So I went out there, and I started yelling out loud, commanding that storm to go. I mean, we can't be self-conscious in times like that. And it's not something you do on your own, at least I don't. So I'm commanding it to go several times. And you look back, and the track had it kind of doing this along the coast. And then it went up to Alexandria. So, and again, I know others were praying too. So that's spiritual warfare, where you're dealing with the real cause. And, you know, the weather service is not saying, we got a demon that's going to come and destroy you. So y'all need to have intercessory prayer. You know, they're going to talk about this, talk about that. Oh, the devastation, all that. But we can wage war in the spirit against those things that will come against me, come against us.
Amen.
And in the Lord and in his power and strength, we will prevail.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into a fight that I'm going to lose, right? But with the Lord, we will prevail. But it's difficult, because you don't know all that's going on sometimes.
Right.
Or you can have angry people kind of get in your face and threaten you and things like that. But rely on the Lord, trust in him, pray, turn the cheek, go the extra mile, and let the Lord deal with them. Amen. We're not to go about killing people, right? Now, one guy, I had a trainer 20 years ago. His name was Rocky. That's a good name, I guess, for a trainer. And he was Mr. Somebody back in the day. So we're talking about different things. And he said, yeah, but the Bible said, Jesus said, if you don't have a sword, you know, take up a sword. Because Jesus was going to leave. Jesus said, I'm leaving. Did you lack anything? He said, and they said, when you went out to ministry, and the disciples said to Jesus, no, we didn't lack anything. He says, well, now the times concerning me have come to an end. So go and get a cloak if you don't have it, get some gear. If you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and get a sword. And they said, Lord, we have two. And he said, that's enough. So I believe, it's just my opinion on this, this wasn't a sword to go fight with, okay, because Jesus fought in the spirit. He never attacked anybody with a sword. He didn't have that kind of army, okay? So the sword that he was talking about was a functional tool. And maybe they cut ropes. Maybe they dug little campfire pits. I don't know what they did with it. But he wasn't saying that go arm yourself with a carnal weapon to fight the Pharisees or something. Okay, otherwise he would have said, oh, you only have two? You better go get 10 more or 9 more, okay? And the wage warfare. You never see any account where the Christians took up a sword to go into battle, a physical sword. So God doesn't want us to think we have to arm ourselves. Somebody told me that there's people in here that are packing some heat. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. I don't care. But we trust the Lord to protect us. And if you're led to shoot somebody, that's your business. But I'm not going to do it, you know. We rely upon the Lord. Okay, so where was I? Okay, this is another battle in 2 Samuel 23. Now here we're back to a physical battle. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of the valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, you know, like physically strong in appearance. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff, a stick, you know, a big stick, and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and had a name among three mighty men. I kind of like that idea. The devil's going to attack you, and the enemy's going to attack you with a weapon or a situation. With God's power, turn that thing around and slay him, right? And I've had situations where it was a temptation or a threat or this or that. You give it to the Lord, pray in the Spirit. If you don't pray in the Spirit, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit so you can deal effectively with these battles. Because it's impossible to battle effectively in the Spirit if you're not filled with the Spirit. But that's, I guess, somewhat of a controversial issue. But in this church, we should all be filled with the Spirit, filled with God's power to deal with these things. Praying in the Spirit, intercessory prayer. When we went to the prisons for almost 7 years, we would get together before, about an hour before. I think Bob came a couple of times. You never did? The McGoverns came and some others. So we'd pray at my house for about an hour before in the Spirit, taking authority over things. And one time we went to the prison and the guard said, no, you can't come in now. You know, we don't have enough staff and we couldn't get in. So the next time we're praying in the Spirit more fervently, taking authority over different things. And this time the guard lets us in. He says, you know, okay, you can have your hour. And if you need more time, that's fine. Take all you need. So there's hindrances in the spirit realm that if we're going to wage warfare for the Lord, we need to attack and deal with those things that are hindering the work of the Lord. Right. Now, Israel was fighting those that were trying to stop them from inheriting the land and things that God had given them. So they were on God's side, and the enemy was not on God's side, and God judged many of those nations and had them slain, you know, various ways, and much of it was Israel killing these nations. And it sounds bad to us, but God's not doing that now, but that's what he did then. And the examples of warfare we can apply to us because we're engaged, not usually a physical warfare, but a spiritual warfare. Right. We need to learn to fight, and we need to learn to only fight when we're in God's will, and we need to know that God will give us the victory, and we will win. Amen. Okay? So now some, maybe yes, maybe not, some ladies are like, well, you know, that was the men, you know, and they do that, and I want to stay home with the children, and that's noble and right. Or, you know, I'm kind of scared of that kind of thing. You know, I don't want to do that. But let's read in Judges 4, 17 to 21, talking about a female warrior. Jael, the wife of Eber, the Kenite, drove a tent nail, through the temples of Sisera and killed him. This was a evil king. And he came and was exhausted and took a nap and went to sleep. I don't like to sleep during the day. You know, I want to be sober. I want to be vigilant. I want to be ready, you know, like the Gideons. And the Gideons that were selected were those that drank water but looked. They looked around when they were lapping, the Bible says, where others just shoved their face in the water and just drank that way. So, no, we don't want to just act like that. We want to be alert and vigilant at all times. Yep. Somebody said, well, you know, is it all right to drink a little bit? You know, a little wine's good for the stomach. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. All right, well, if you want to drink a little bit and not get drunk, that's up to you. But I don't want to drink at all, you know. And what about drugs? Take some drugs and you know, escape for a while. What's wrong with that, you know?
Well,
do what you want to do. But if you're a child of God, you shouldn't be doing any of that. And I want to be alert and vigilant at all times, you know, not napping when I should be awake, not on the couch when I should be praying or doing services unto the Lord and to his people. So we want to be alert at all times, sober, vigilant, because the enemy, Satan, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. And he will come and try to devour you.
Yeah.
Now, I believe that's with deception, you know, turn you away from the truth, discourage you, try to talk you out of God's blessings. I had a kind of a crazy inmate. He was in the drunk tank, you know, where they put people off the street. And he was like, oh, God, he's something. You know, like he's hard, man. He's hard to deal with. I said, not the God that I know. You know, my God loves me. God, my God set me free from bondage. He freed me up so I could do his will.
Right.
Like Jesus spoke about going into the town
right.
where a colt was tied. And he told the disciple to prepare for the Last Supper. He says, go loose him, set him free, because I have need of him. God wants to loose us, free us. I know he did it for me. I got saved when I was 21. And I wasn't totally corrupted, but I was headed in that way. And by corrupted, I mean involved in the world and the world's ways, the world's thinking. So he set me free so I could serve him. I became a better student. I put away those things. I quit the fraternity. I quit some of the behavior and the foolishness that young men have. You know, they say boys will be boys. Well, not God's boys, not God's men. You know, we will be men and women of God serving him. And don't excuse all that stuff that the world says. It's all right. Everybody else doesn't know, and everybody else doesn't do it. And many people, some in this room that have been in bondage, including myself, to certain things and behaviors and whatnot, whether it's drugs or smoking or things that the man of God, the woman of God, should have nothing to do with.
Amen.
Oh, well, you know, it helps me to relax, one man told me, who was in the hospital about 30 years ago. Well, there are better ways to relax. What do you mean? Pray in the Spirit, wait on the Lord, read his word,
right.
fellowship with one another. We don't need chemicals, you know. Adam was in the garden, and he ruled over all the plants and animals. Now, some people are now servants to weed and other drugs that come from plants and different minerals, whatever they are. I don't know if they are. So they become servants to the things that God called us to rule over.
Right.
So I don't want to be a slave. We all know slavery is horrible. Look at the Jews in Egypt. Treated horribly. And then the black people that came to America treated horribly.
Right.
And we talk about how horrible that is, but yet men and women go into a different kind of slavery and think it's cool, you know. They think that's great, that's fun.
Yeah.
You're being set up as a pigeon and the enemy's laying a snare, a net to capture you so he can kill you, eat you, you know, make dinner out of you. You know, the fish chasing the lure, etc. But a snare is something you don't see. You know, they hide it with the leaves and all that stuff. And we, you know, the people go dancing around through the forest thinking everything's fun and games. And now the snare comes upon you, and now you become prey. You become a meal for somebody. Or an animal will catch you, jump out of the tree and get you. So we've got to be alert. We need to be sober. And we need to be serious about these things. Many of them are life-threatening. And worse, enemy comes to drive you away from the Lord. I know of a young man raised in the church, married an unbeliever, but he didn't know she was an unbeliever. And then about 20 years later or so, she decides she's going to go back to her roots in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you're going to go, and she almost forced him to go with her. And I'm thinking, you going to go back into that pagan thing? You know, I'll say it, you know, I used to think the Catholic Church was just like a misguided old Roman kind of version of Christianity. The whole thing is corrupt. It was never founded by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It was founded by men, unsaved men, Constantine and whoever else got involved. Well, I think we ought to do this. I think we ought to do that. We're not going to pray to the gods, but we're going to pray to the saints. We don't want to just have a male god. We want a female god. So they'll venerate Mary or call her the co-redemptrix. The whole thing is man-made. The whole thing is demonically inspired. Now, it's got some little tinges of Christian words, phrases, but it is corrupt, the whole thing. Now, why do I say that? So we don't go back or anyone get drawn away from the true faith in Christ and go into something like that.
Amen.
Or some cult maybe you were in or some dead denomination or something to that effect. Satan comes to deceive us and to destroy us by his deception and then drag you to hell. But the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Bible says, resist the enemy, he will flee. Learn the truth, and you'll walk in the light, not in the darkness. So God gives us plenty assurance and plenty methods and things that we need to do, trusting in him, trusting in his truth, where those deceptions and those snares will not take over us, because the danger is there. And I like to preach about, Peter said, add to your faith, you know, moral excellence, virtue, knowledge. Because when you believe and then you act on that, then your faith is really strengthened. You know, Jesus said, go all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and then is baptized will be saved. Water baptism is just a demonstration of what you believe.
Right.
One church, the same one I was talking about, at some point, maybe what, 400 years ago, I don't know, said that water baptism regenerates. You're born again when you're water baptized. And they baptize the little babies thinking that they've accomplished something. It accomplishes nothing. It comes believing first, and then you're baptized as a consequence. And like the thief on the cross, he was not water baptized, but he still had eternal life because it's by faith in Jesus as Savior. And in no one else, nothing else, not your good works, not my good works, not some position you have. It's all based on what he did. And then we do our good works, you know, be faithful to maintain good works once you believe, because you are saved now. You know God's will. He will lead you and guide you to do good things, to help people, to bless people. And it can be subtle things. Lisa talked about somebody that helped her with those physical needs that she had that she couldn't do because of the hip surgery. So be, you know, alert, vigilant, seeking opportunity where you can help and bless others. That's all part of our walk with the Lord. James says, I'll show you my faith by my actions. Actions without that are not born of faith are dead works. I don't care how good you think you are. It's not good enough. Well, I do all this, I'll do that. Wow. The Lord's taken me in some directions. I mean, I haven't even read many of these notes. You know, it's one time I shared on Wednesday night, and it's like I was in the car driving before we started up, and Jesus, I didn't see him, but he like opened the door and said, slide over, son. I'm going to take the wheel. Didn't somebody sing a song, Jesus,
yes,
take the wheel?
Jesus, take the
wheel. Now, that was... I never heard that song sung, but Jesus will take the wheel, and I'm not going to grab the wheel from him. You know, you drive on, and I'll listen and do what you've said. Okay, so well, let's I have, what do I have? 40 minutes. Glenn said 80 minutes, and then the audio files stops. Okay. So this is Gideon. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched the valley of Jezreel to fight Israel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and who gathered after him. And he sent messages to Asher, unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they all came to meet them. In chapter 7, then, Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands. So, you know, we want 100 warriors. We want, I had a guy that had an issue with me at work, so we had to meet the next week, you know, with the department heads. So he brings like 3-4 people with him. And he was ready for battle. He thought I was going to argue and fight with him. I didn't say anything. I just gave it to the Lord. The Lord dealt with the whole thing. But people that don't know the Lord, they're going to want to start bringing all the reinforcements and this one and that lawyer and this situation. But as believers, we don't need to do that. You know, we stand firm in the will of God and overcome by His Spirit. And yeah, if the brethren come with us, great. I had my cousin who's here today visiting Ellie. She called me one night. This would have been 30 years ago, maybe. She said, there's a demon-possessed woman at my aunt's house. What's the aunt name? Nancy. Aunt Nancy and Uncle Joe. Can you come help? So I grabbed one of the brothers. Church was ending on a Wednesday night. I said, can you help me? There's a demon-possessed woman at my aunt's house. Can you want to come help me deal with that? He's like, oh no, brother. He says, I got to go home, you know. So I'm thinking, I say, wait a minute. We're supposed to go 2x2. No, brother. I got to go. Okay, so I went by myself, but not by myself. The Lord was with me. I went in. There was a cousin about my age, about my size at the time. Two younger cousins, Ellie, demon-possessed woman who would draw pentagrams on the garage door, and then my aunt and uncle were kind of, you know, sitting quietly, didn't know what to do. She wouldn't leave the house, so, and I didn't know what to do. I'm not going to go there and do something in the flesh, and they said that my cousin that was about my size, she like threw him across the room or threw him in the on the sofa, and he was hiding in the bathroom. So I go there, and this woman starts singing Ave Maria. Ave Maria. You know, Catholic doctrine, demon thing. And people like that song. And it is pretty. It sounds really nice, you know, with the octaves and all that stuff. Don't know much about music. But anyhow, so I go in there, I started talking to her, and she says, I know there's a calling on your life. And I said, what are you doing here? Why are you here? And she mumbled something. And we were there, what, 20 minutes, 15 minutes? So I said, look, you have to leave. Now, I'm not going to exaggerate and say, you know, that she fell to the ground, wallowed, foaming, or something like you read in the Bible. I said, you have to leave. She wouldn't leave before. So I escorted her out the door, and she left. And my cousin, my little cousin, said, I was praying, why is this happening, God? He was afraid. And he said, now I know why, because I got saved. I think we prayed with him to receive the Lord. So these are situations that you can't do on your own. I guess I could have put her in a chokehold and dragged her out the door and tied her up with chains and called the cops. And that could be one way, because she wouldn't leave. She was taking up residence there, you know, like a rat does in their garage or something. So, okay, we're talking about Gideon and... the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves. So God wants to show that He's present, not you. So you be underpowered or inarticulate, uneducated perhaps, but the Lord will minister in that situation, and God will get the glory because it's Him. God that led me to the Lord, giving me a track, witnessing to me, and directed me to church on the West Bank. He was a bad student. He was, you know, in architecture with me. He wasn't a good student. I helped him get a job. He didn't do well. But he gave me the gospel. Amen. So you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be polished, sophisticated, know the Roman road and this and all that. Just go in the name of the Lord and trust Him. Let Him work through you. And Because of him, Jesus saved me.
Amen.
And I've been with the Lord for almost 50 years.
Amen.
And I pray for him from time to time that, you know, the Lord would bless him wherever he's at. But he his personal life was shaky. His walk was shaky. But he had the gospel enough to share with me that the Lord could save me. Now, God had been dealing with me for years, but this was the way I committed myself to the Lord. Okay, so he's talking about not having so many that the Israelites would think they did it themselves by defeating the enemy. Verse 3, now therefore go proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there return the people 22,000 there, and there remain 10,000. See, what was it? The people that were afraid. Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let them depart. A lot of people are afraid to go into battle. Oh, no, I'm not doing that. Oh, no, that's too much. I just want to come hear a nice sermon, have some coffee in the lobby, hear some good music, you know, sophisticated sound system. One church, they had smoke and they had the strobe light. And I almost told Marianne, I'm going to climb up on that post and tear that thing down. What does that thing have to do with worship?
Right.
But it's entertainment, and they copy one another. It's kind of a joke with me and others. These churches, they copy all the other churches. And several of them said they wanted a black ceiling. I said, why do you want black? Well, the other church had that. So come on, let the Lord lead you and quit following men into these vain practices and this foolishness that man has made when it hinders the work of God. Could you worship in here if you had a big strobe light flashing all over and smoke coming up from back here? But somebody thinks that's church. The Lord doesn't think that's worship. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus cleansed the temple, you know, and I've had several times thought about doing something like that, but he gave me restraint and said, leave it alone, you know, and I did. But, okay, so whoever's afraid, leave. The fearful ones left, and they returned to the people, 22,000 that remained, and there remained 10,000 because the others left. So now I guess they could go fight all this enemy, however many it was. It was thousands, tens of thousands, I think. We'll get Brother Rusty or Brother Ricky to go into those details, because that's not my ministry. Okay. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people yet are too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I'll try them for thee there. And it shall be of whom I say to you, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto you, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. In other words, I'm going to tell you who's going to battle with you and who is not. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue as a dog laps, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink, you know, set them aside. And the number of them that lap, putting their hand to their mouth, you know, were 300. But all the rest of the people bow down upon their knees to drink water and just shove their face down, you know. And the Lord said, by the 300 men that lapped when they drank water, you know, and looked when they lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. So the Lord narrowed it down to those that he chose to go do the battle. And we know the story of the Gideons. They circled the camp at night and broke the lanterns and yelled, the sword of Gideon, the sword of the Lord. And they won the battle. The enemy fled. Okay, so we want to be sober and vigilant. And if you're drinking water, you know, be alert. Or if you're involved in an activity, always keep a mind on the Lord. Be sober, vigilant, spiritual eyes on a situation so you're not caught off guard. And then we can't be afraid. I know of one woman, there was Hurricane Ike that was coming. It was over Cuba, and it was projected to go to Pensacola. And this woman, not going to say who, okay, fled and went to Texas with her children. And I just said, no, I'm going to stay here and, you know, take care of the house. I didn't get any leading to leave. So some are afraid of things that will never happen. Most of people's fears, I'm told, are will never happen. 90% of them or more will never happen. So the Bible says, when I'm afraid, I'm not going to run away. I'm going to trust in Him. Yeah. I will trust in the Lord. And that's where you get your strength. Yeah. You know, we're talking about things like that. So my question is, are we worriers or are we warriors? Some people are worriers. Oh, no, this might happen. I'm afraid, you know. And when you're a little kid, you know, mommy, help me. That's great. Mama and daddy are there to help you and protect you. But when you've grown in the Lord and you know His word and you have the power of the Holy Spirit and you have brethren you can call on, we don't want to say, oh, I'm afraid. I've got to go. You know, oh, it's hard. No. Battle that thing as you're led by the Lord in the Spirit and overcome. Amen. So the battle is the Lord's. Amen. And Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. I guess with a bow, huh? Your fingers. I did a little archery in college, but anyhow. So the bow, the spear, the sword. My goodness, talking about the Lord. My fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield. And He in whom I trust to subdueth the people under me. Now we know, Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he's saying, put on the armor of God. Say you saw somebody dressed with armor, you know, helmet, Kevlar vest, shoes, rifle, handgun, sidearm, knives, all that kind of equipment and protection. Would you say, I think that's an accountant, you know, or maybe he's an engineer, or maybe an architect, you know, or it could be a shoe salesman. No, you're going to say that's a soldier. And what do soldiers do? They fight, and they're under the leadership of the authority, and they fight to win. Yeah. You know, we know about a war that they never won because they weren't positioned to fight to win. You know, Vietnam, I'm told. Okay, so it's a spiritual warfare. Now, we must be disciplined as soldiers to fight. 1 Corinthians 9:13. Another time where he's saying, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Sometimes these battles go on. Some of them I've experienced have been 7 years, 10 years, 20 years. But you keep fighting as the Lord leads. You keep holding fast. You overcome and you will prevail in the Lord's timing and in His way. Like Rusty talked about Abraham and Sarah. So don't stop fighting in the battle. Continue to intercede like James the apostle. They said he had calluses on his knees like a camel's knee, praying, interceding for his whole life, I think, until he died. Yeah. So, you know, I know one guy who likes to play on the beach, throw the frisbee, maybe smoke a little weed, you know, have fun. That's what the hippies did in the 60s. Now I was a little too young because I was born in 55 and the hippies were a little older than that. But that was their thing. Life is a beach. Have fun. You know, make love, not war. No, we need to make war at times. And that carnal love they were talking about, that's just indulging in things that you shouldn't be indulging in. Now, God gives us richly all things to enjoy, but it's in His will, His way. You know, people act like animals. You're not an animal. You're a child of God. You have His Spirit in you, and those that aren't saved, they were made by God, and Jesus died for them to bring them into a new life. Right. Amen. Some people say, well, I got to repent. You know, I got to quit drinking. I got to quit smoking. I got to quit adulterating, stealing, lying. It's not just quitting that. It's taking a turn from there, and don't remain neutral. but turn to Him and engage in the things God has for you to do. All right? Amen. Don't try to do something somebody else is doing, but do what the Lord leads you to do individually to wage warfare, or corporately with the body or with the brethren. And the Holy Spirit will strengthen you and enable us to prevail. Okay? Amen. Now, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Everybody's running in the race. One receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now that they do, others do what they do to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown that the Lord gives to all those that love His appearing. Okay? So therefore, I so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, you know, just shadow boxing, but I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So we've got to be disciplined in life, temperate in life, enjoying the things God gives us. He gives us many things to enjoy, but don't get caught up in all that worldly stuff, things that the worldly people have tried to substitute for a lack of God in their life, and then miss out on the victory that God wants us to have. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, like the Gideons, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I like to reference everything with the scriptures, so it's not my words, but you can see it or look it up later and know it's God's words. We talked about being not drunk with wine. You know, a tile man was at my daughter's house this week, and I speak a little Spanish, so we were talking about, I asked him if he was a Christian, and he's like, no. I said, well, you know, I'm a Christian, and he says, and no bebes vino? You know, you don't drink wine? I said, no. ¿Por qué? Why? I said, because I don't need it. I have the new wine, I don't need that stuff. I don't need some thrill that the world offers you, and I just don't need it. I sing in the Spirit, I pray in the Spirit, I walk in the Spirit as the Lord leads me, as I try to. I've stumbled and fallen, but He has lifted me up, and you get back engaged. Now sometimes the Lord's going to give you a furlough. He's going to set you aside into a solitary place that you can rest for a while. You get engaged in that battle, and sometimes it gets long and hard and tiring. And He'll take you aside and give you rest. Yes. The apostles were coming and going, didn't have time to eat. So He said, come apart into the desert place and rest for a while. So, yeah, we're warriors, we're soldiers, we're victorious. Sometimes we need to rest and let the Lord refresh us. I went through something like that a couple months ago. Okay, so we don't need to drink and get drunk. You know, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but you don't like the new, what do you call it, the hip-hop, rap, rock and roll. You know, I was having a sandwich the other day, and they're playing all these old rock and rollers and kind of things I never really experienced. I guess I was in college, or it was in the 50s. And I said, these people are crazy. They listened to all this trash. It makes no sense. Oh, my baby done left me and I'm so sad. Well, the Lord will give you another friend, another, you know. Or, I'm so lonely I should cry. How about seek the Lord? The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But, you know, the Lord is omnipresent. He's everywhere, you know. We can enjoy His presence if we seek Him. But if you want to do all these other things, then you miss out on Him. So you then take a substitute that, I'm looking at this clock, it's not helping. A substitute that the world has created. NFL, I like a good football game, but lately not so much. Because when you're younger, you kind of vicariously play the game. Okay, that's fine. You know, you can engage in that and athletics and all, but don't let it be everything for you. I mean, now you've got the women doing this, and everything is sports, 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 sports. It's like that's the only thrill these people have. There's more to life than watching sporting events or playing poker or whatever it is. And I have a neighbor, he's a professional poker player. And I'm thinking, that's it? That's what you go for? Well, how is that going to help you when this life is over? They don't even think that far because the enemy defeats them. We need to avoid those affairs in life that hinder us. And, okay, I'm on 14 of 20. Okay. I'm looking at that clock. Turn it off, Glenn. Just, you know, they say a broken clock is right two times a day, right? They just freeze that thing. Okay, but I'm going to go quick because I knew you all are hungry. And so we endure those difficulties as a good soldier. We don't get entangled in the things of this life. Those that are dressed in armor and whatnot, or the Roman soldier Paul described, the helmet of salvation, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, goings girded about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the cloak of prayer, you know, that enable us to win those spiritual battles. And let's see, let's move on. Some of this I've already shared. And now, those who are carnal, they fight with one another. Okay, man's always fighting. Cain is fighting with Abel. And I don't think this was just this one time. I think they fought all the time. Disagreed. Abel was probably meek and kind. Cain, he's out to kill him. You know, he hated him because his deeds were evil and Abel's deeds and sacrifice were acceptable to God. I have a brother, two brothers, I won't say which one. But when we were younger, he tried to kill me twice. He tried to shoot me in the head, and that was a BB gun, okay? And then we were in a rowboat. We were in a rowboat. And he was in the back, and he tried to hit me over the head with the oar. So if he would have knocked me out, I would have fallen into the, and drowned. And then nobody would be here preaching to you. Ellie knows who I'm talking about. So those that are carnal fight one another. Now, you know, it's the curse of sin that causes man to fight. I always wanted fighting, and this guy... Don't want to digress too much, but my mother said, I'm 10 months younger than this brother. So now you know who he is, I guess. Well, he would, I guess, get envious because I'm the new baby. My mother said he would bite me in my cheeks, and I would bleed. I would bleed from that. And he fought me and fought me until I got bigger and stronger, and then he stopped fighting me. Okay. And but that's the carnal nature. People that are contentious... Forgive me, ladies, but it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling, contentious woman. Okay, but men fight too, right? Men fight too. Women are a little more subtle. You know, men might come directly at you. But none of that is part of the Christian walk. That's the curse of sin. Okay, Genesis 3:16 in the English Standard Version. Unto the woman, after they had sinned, and the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now, my wife had five children at home, you know, my children, and she said she had no pain or very little pain. So when you walk in the Spirit, you're not under the curse. Okay, now I'm not saying you need to do that, but trust the Lord that you are a new creation. We're not under the curse of sin. Okay, and sorrow you bring forth children. And to the woman, your desire shall be contrary to your husband. Has anybody ever experienced that? Yes. But he shall rule over you. So the curse of sin, one of the curses, that there's going to be fighting between men and women, but also fighting between men and men, and women and women. You know, cat fights and things like that. Seems like some women will fight and fight, worldly women, and then they'll go have lunch. You know, like nothing happened. Men, I mean, you're going to fight me, we're going to be enemies for a long time. But anyhow, one woman told my wife and me, I don't know, 4 months ago, she was talking about problems with her husband. And those things are common. We understand that. but let's seek the Lord and do His will. And she said, but I'm not going to fight Him on that. I'm going to choose my battles. We've heard that, right? I've heard men say that. This woman said that. I'm going to choose my battles. Well, battles? What? You mean you're going to fight with your husband as a believer, as one who surrendered to the Lord? You're going to fight with your wife and you, a believer, seeking to do God's will? You know, the Bible says the head of every woman is a man, the head of every man is Jesus, the head of Jesus is God. There should be harmony there, fluidity, submission. I worked for a firm for 16 years. My job was to submit unto the department head. When I had my own business for 20 years, I was the boss, but still I'm submitted to the Lord. Okay, all this fighting. So she, in effect, was saying, I'm going to fight when I really want something. I'm going to fight hard and I'm going to get it. Okay, that should not be in the Christian home. That's what the pagans do. That's what those who are under the curse do. The believer, there should be none of that. But God's merciful. He gives us patience. He teaches us. He forgives us. And we should be learning these things and improving in that area. And fighting with people at work. A guy wanted to fight me verbally. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I kept quiet like a lamb before his shearers is dumb. It came to my mind. So I didn't. And he got upset and walked out. But I'm not going to get into that contentiousness. Now, we can fight the devil. We can do other things, but not one another. 1 Corinthians 3:3, real quick. For you're carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? I've heard churches split over the color of the carpet. Is that true? I've heard stuff like that. I heard this carpet took a while to be selected. But that's okay. You're in harmony, right? Peace, love, and you did it. But we shouldn't be fighting all these trivial things. No. But people do. People kill each other. Churches shoot each other. The Spanish Inquisition killed, what, hundreds of Protestants, I'm told. It should not be. And then one church says they're going to launch the Crusades. And if you go to battle, one pope said, you will automatically gain heaven. So everybody, a lot of them went to battle. But you don't gain heaven by going killing people with a sword, whether they're Muslims or not. But that's the carnal nature. I'm going to fight. I'm going to get what I want. But as Christians, we want to battle in the Spirit so we can have what He wants. That's a righteous battle. The whole crusade thing, none of that is Christian at all. And whoever authorized that was not doing Christian things. But a lot of people think, oh, that's the church, and oh, they killed all those people, so God's not real, Jesus isn't real. I told one man, but that's not Christian. I don't care who authorized that. The Pope is not infallible, and he is accountable to God for leading all those people astray. So they were yet carnal. Galatians 5, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah, now because somebody said, I'm going to go chop your head off. You know, these battles were gory. They chop your head off, your arm off, your leg off. It wasn't pleasant. But the Christian should never be involved in those things. You know, suing a Christian, the Bible talks about, why do you want to take them to law? Why not just bear the wrong and go in peace, forgive them, and serve the Lord? Are they going to sue them for this, sue them for that? Paul said, settle that amongst you. Settle that thing amongst you. Give it to the least of the brethren because you don't seem able to handle that, so they're going to the courts. Okay? But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, you not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay? Overcome the flesh. Win the battle. Some say, you know, I got this sin, this besetting sin, and I just can't win over it. I can't stop drinking or drugging or whatever the thing is. Well, other people don't do that. You think because you're struggling with it, that it can't be conquered with God's power, with God's strength? You can overcome it and walk in victory. Why do you want to be a slave to that thing? Jesus paid a great price, not just to forgive us, but to free us from those sins and bondages that control us. But So though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Weapons are our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I'm gonna skip ahead because we're running out of time, I think. So let's go talking about quickly the things that the church does. We pray for the sick. That's part of our warfare, to set those captives free, to let God work through us to heal the sick. We intercede for prayer. You know, we gather together. I had a vision one time about a prayer meeting, and this guy had several children upstairs, and they were having a prayer meeting. So he said, "Kids, come on downstairs. We're going to pray, time to pray." So one came down. The others were doing whatever they were doing. And he said, "All of y'all come down," because he wanted all of them to come down so they all could pray more effectively together. Okay, so that's Monday nights and other times, prayer meetings, etc. Okay, we want to intercede, intercessory prayer, like they prayed for Peter to get out of prison. It says they, therefore, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Then Peter gets released. Then Peter goes, knocks on the door, and the young girl shut the door because she didn't think it was him. And then he knocked again. They let him in. Here they're praying in faith, and then the answer is there, and they didn't receive it. Okay, so we pray with expectation, looking for the Lord's victory that God gives us. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel." That's an offensive battle. We go forward like David charged the giant. So we go into the prisons or the nursing homes or street witnessing or however he would lead you. We go forth into battle against the enemy. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believes not will be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." See, you need to speak with tongues to fight effectively in the Spirit. "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Well, why doesn't that happen? Because many churches don't engage in that. They don't think they can. We've got to learn what God has said and not what man has said and go forth and conquer in his name. "As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is Matthew 10. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely." If somebody freed you, somebody set me free. So we need to be willing like the Apostle Paul and go forth understanding how the Lord saved him, the Lord delivered him, and Ananias prayed for him to get his sight back, and we need to be available to do those things that God calls us to do. "Hold fast the profession of your faith, for he is faithful that promised." Hold fast, never let go, hold on to Jesus. Nobody can change what he did. He died for us freely, he loves us, he rose from the dead, he's coming back. Never let go of that. What if you didn't believe that? Would you be saved? No, you wouldn't. But hold fast to what he said and done, and we'll never fall as we hold on and then do the things that he said. Okay, real quick, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not, and God will give us those times of refreshing." And the last one page I have, who do you think is the greatest warrior in the Bible? How about Samson? Pretty tough guy, right? Killed 1,000 men, but it was by God's power. You know, everybody thinks he was this big buff guy, you know, strapping guy. He was probably an average looking guy, but God gave him power, supernatural power, to do those things, to carry the gates of the temple, to tear a lion's jaws apart, and to push down the temple that killed all the Philistines that were present. That was his battle. That was his call. Was he the greatest warrior? How about Joshua? Trained by Moses, went through and conquered for the Lord the promised land that God had given them. Or how about, we've read about Gideon. How about, who's another? Jephthah maybe? All these other warriors of the faith that the Bible talks about. So who's the greatest warrior in the Bible? It's Jesus, the great one. Look, this is real brief. He came to the earth to sacrifice his life for us, rescue and heal and deliver others, intercede and pray for us, preach and teach the truth, dispel the darkness in men's minds and hearts, defeat the enemy for every man and woman, redeem us to God by his sacrifice, establish his church, overcome the world, and he is returning to rule the world in righteousness. This is the greatest warrior, and we take part in that, some of that, as he leads us, and we will win. Amen? Yes. Well, I thank you all for listening. I would say that if anybody's in bondage or anybody has a need and they're struggling, come forth, and the elders will pray for you, minister to you, and help you get back on your feet, help you conquer that thing that's hindering you from doing the will of God. So come forth if you need help, you want prayer, and the Lord, I believe, will set you free. Amen. Amen.